The Utah Jazz went 5 minutes and 34 seconds without a field goal early in the fourth quarter last night. And why is the number one issue for this franchise moving forward? It's next on Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Today on Locked On Jazz, we're going to look at the Jazz 5 minutes and 34 seconds of scoreless basketball to open the fourth quarter. It led to a loss to the Charlotte Hornets. We'll look at the much improved defensive performance by the Utah Jazz last night as well. And if we have time, we'll look around the league and see where it's going. And what's taking place, because there were two really interesting games last night, and there is a team that is crazy hot and I think really good if we get to it. All right, I am David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thank you so much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all podcasting apps as well as YouTube. Thank you so much for tuning in. And to the everydayers out there, you're the best. To the guy who came by last night with his kid, super cute, wanting a sticker, I apologize. We were in the pregame show. I also was out at that point. So I will try. I was already out. So, but I apologize. I can't really stop, say hi, take a picture during the broadcast. But thanks for coming by. I super appreciate it. All right. Let's get to the, this is the real issue. Like this is when the Jazz want to be great, compete for playoff spots, win playoff games. What happened last night can't happen. By the way, today's show is brought to you by LinkedIn, helping you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your free job, your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay. So let's walk through the fourth quarter because it's really important. And I'll just confront the first thing. There's a narrative that we don't get the ball to Lowry enough in the fourth quarter. It's not true. And the truth is that Lowry is not capable yet with any consistency of self-created offense. And that's the next step for Lowry. That's probably what's the most important thing in the next 25 games. And until Lowry can do that, we don't have the pieces to be an elite top six conference, top four conference team. So we open the game fourth quarter with an ISO to Lowry, and he finds Walker on a nice flash to the middle, and Walker lays it up and in. And this is a huge sign of development from Lowry. That was his sixth assist of the night, if I remember correctly, which is a career high. Lowry was one of the lower assist guys in the NBA, and he has shown a great ability to pass. So these are things Lowry can do and probably will develop. But as of right now, as you walk through this, you'll see where this falls. So the next play, we go to, that was on the left wing. And the way we're getting into this usually is a pin down on the wing, and Lowry goes to the post, often off a switch on a smaller guy. So it's a well-constructed play. It's not just taking Lowry with his big guy on him, their best defender. It's creating a switch. And then Lowry goes to the post and tries to go to work out of the mid block. So we ran Lowry out of the mid block last night to open up the fourth quarter almost every play and got nothing other than that flash to the basket. Next one, Lowry on the right wing, pinned down, goes into the post, has a smaller defender on him, turnaround baseline jumper misses. Next play, we're on the left-hand side. We're back on the right-hand side, and Lowry commits an offensive foul on a moving pick. Those are often combination of whether it's Jordan or Lowry, whoever, but in this case, Lowry, I thought, same play for the fourth straight time to open the fourth quarter. This one on the other side, and he gets on the left side. He can't beat his guy, swings it around, or he can't get it. He actually just can't get the ball. Like, he doesn't get in position to get the ball in the post up. We swing it around, and Sensabaugh misses a right baseline shot. We are about to go 5 minutes without a field goal here. Clarkson, transition, gets blocked. Jordan did not have a good night last night. Was a bit out of control at times. Then we ran a Clarkson-Kessler pick and roll. So this is the first half-court play that is not run for Lauri Markkanen. We had been 1-for-4 on our first attempts for that play. So it seems reasonable to go away for a moment. Clarkson, Sexton, pick and roll. We give Sensabaugh a wide open corner three from Clarkson on a nice pass, and he misses it. Okay? Perfect play. We did it perfectly. The ball just didn't go in. The next play, Clarkson, small, small pick and roll, and he gets himself into trouble, and Dunn actually bails him out on a foul. So we go back-to-back plays. One in transition doesn't really count. We go back-to-back plays without Lauri. Now we run a Clarkson-Lauri interchange, and we try to go Lauri in the post again. So now 5 of the first 7 plays of the fourth quarter have really been called for Lauri. Clarkson drives and ends up with a Dunn three late in the shot clock, which was not a very good shot, but his ball movement was pretty good defense. And with Dunn and Walker on the floor, there's just no spacing. So super hard to drive. The next one, we run a clear side pick and roll between Lauri and Colin Sexton on the left side that gets Lauri to the post. He catches, he spins baseline, beautiful move, gets blocked at the rim. So now 6 of 8 plays have been called for Lauri. Next play, Clarkson goes one-on-one, throws it away. Next play, Sexton goes one-on-one, kicks out to Kessler for an open three, and he misses. Like, they're not guarding him. And then Clarkson misses a three, and Clarkson turns it over. And that's the drought. That's where we didn't score. So, 2 things that jump out here. Any narrative that says you're not going to Lauri late, it's just not true. And number 2, this is the next step. When I did the show yesterday about the things I want to see, the number 1 thing is Lowry's ability to learn how to play one-on-one, either in the post. Last night, we went to him in the post, not the free throw line nail. Yesterday on the show, I talked about the free throw line nail as the spot of where you're trying to get him the ball. But the truth, but really what we don't have right now in this roster is a half-court bucket getter. Colin's probably the closest we have. Jordan's so inefficient, I can't put him in the category. I know he can get hot and be a flamethrower. It feels like a long time since he's flamed on. In that Clarkson kind of essence of like just wild, crazy hotness. I don't feel like I've felt it in a while. And Sexton can do it a little bit if he has the right matchups, if we can spread the floor enough on him for him. Last night in that lineup, so we couldn't, because with Dunn and Walker on the floor, there's just no space. There's no way to space the floor for the drivers. And so they were getting in trouble every time. 19 turnovers last night was a huge part. But the real crux to this is, as great as Lauri is, and he's not been super the last 4 games, he's not been on top of his game, certainly. And he's super. Don't misunderstand anything I'm saying here. But if Lowry's going to move from a top 25 player in the NBA where he is right now to a top 15 or top 10 player in the NBA, which is the type of player that can then carry you through playoff games, that sequence right there is exactly what he has to improve and we have to get him better at. But we basically ran to Lauri almost every play. Lauri didn't get a field goal. Walker got one off a Lauri assist, which is great development that Lauri led the team in assists last night and had 6 assists. But that's also like, at some point, Lowry's got to go get that bucket. We flip it around a little bit when Keyonte and John Collins come back in the game, and we still go to Lauri every time. We have some more success with better personnel. We'll touch on that. And then we'll talk about some really good positive things, even though it was a loss last night to the Charlotte Hornets, as the Jazz have now lost 5 in a row. And so we're just getting started, and we'll touch on that as we continue here on a Friday edition of Locked on Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. The Hyundai lineup of cars, I think it's one of the best out there. It's just so simple, straightforward. So the Elantra and Sonata, the two sedans, won a bunch of awards. The electric cars, the Ioniq 5 and the Ioniq 6 continue to take, it's almost cheating. They're a dynasty in the amount of awards that they have taken recently. The 5 was the Motor Trend SUV of the year. The 6 was the car of the year. And right now, the Ioniq 5 has a special deal going on at just $299 per month for 36 months, or 0% for 60 months, $7,500 in EV bonuses, all on the Ioniq 5. I keep seeing more and more of those around town. I have mine, and I love it. We also have the Kona that takes you all the way up to the Great Palisade, the beautiful with the Tucson and the Hyundai Santa Fe in between. So check it all out at Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. If you're going to stop by, email me first at dlock09@gmail.com so we can give you the VIP treatment that you as a Locked On everydayer deserves. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends over at Stitch Fix. This is super fun. All right. Do you guys know about Stitch Fix? Maybe not. So then it's really important that I tell you a little bit more about Stitch Fix and what Stitch Fix brings to the table and can make you, look cool, right? Instant confidence with Stitch Fix. Fix, Stitch Fix. You get a stylist who understands your style, size, and budget, and they do all the shopping for you. It's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season. Easily upgrade your wardrobe this year with a professional stylist that helps you find new on-trend favorites that will work for you. So you give the stylist your size, your style, your budget preferences, and they order, and the box comes, and they order boxes, and they come, no subscription required, and they send you 5 just-for-me pieces, plus outfit recommendations, pro styling advice. The stylist always just sends you the right pieces. They fit right on point. And you look at Stitch Fix makes you feel as though you look good, get you started, get you a little style. Don't have to always wear your jazz hoodie. Like, it's good. Stitchfix.com/lockedon. That's Stitch Fix, StitchFix.com/lockedon. If you don't like to shop, you don't have time, it saves you the time, it saves you effort, gives you the outfits, it makes you look good, you don't know what the hot styles are. I'm talking to you. Yes, you every day. This is for you. It's called Stitch Fix. StitchFix.com/lockedon. All right, when the Jazz then went to Keyonte George and John Collins, the offense definitely opened up a little bit more last night. So the first play, the Jazz run the Spain pick and roll, which is Keyonte runs off John Collins, and then Lowry comes up to the top and pops, which is really a play for Lowry, but it's just out of natural offense, and this is where Lowry's at his best. Keyonte beats his guy and scores it. Then they run a Keyonte-Lowry pick and roll where Lowry pops for an open three and hits. So they've now gone away from let's just post up Lowry and play Lowry isolation and see if he can score. Sexton turns it over on early offense on a push to John Collins. It leads to Grant Williams three. It was one of 3 sequences last night in the fourth quarter where we made mistakes one side and they capitalized on the other that kind of swung the game to the Hornets, who've now won 4 in a row. Then there was a Keyonte George Lowry marking pick and roll. Keyonte drove to the basket and got all the way to the rim. Then there was a Collins Sexton Lowry marking pick and roll, and Sexton drew a foul. And then there was a quick Lowry three, which he makes, but is waved off by an offensive foul and a moving pick by Colin Sexton, kind of ended the night. So 2 things here. One is any narrative that says that the Jazz are not trying to get the ball to Lowry Mark in late in games is just not accurate. The second one is that Lowry as an ISO go-to get a bucket guy hasn't shown yet the ability to do that. Hard with Dunn and Kessler on the floor with spacing issues there. But where Lowry and where at his best is when we're using him in actions. He's still great there. He has a ton of gravity. It opens up things for everybody else. And that leads to Keyonte scoring Sexton at the free throw line, but it also gets to fourth quarters where Lowry doesn't touch a great deal because that's not his forte. You can't just go get him the ball yet. And this is important. At some point, if Lowry's going to be a top 10 15 player in the NBA, he's got to be able to just go call for the ball and score. And two, Lowry still opens up great opportunities for a good offensive team in the fourth quarter. So it's not like lost, but it is a next step. And it's something we ran. I said yesterday on the show, or on the podcast, I just thought there's a chance that we may just start running like 8 ISOs a night for Lowry, 2 a quarter. And it felt a little bit like that. That was probably too many. But we felt like we were somewhere in that range last night, that we really have made a conscious effort that we're going to go get Lowry the ball and let him go to work. And last night it was not particularly successful. I don't have the final numbers on it. I could probably find them, but I don't think we converted much of any all night. There was one early in the fourth quarter where I think he might've converted on an early ISO in the game last night, but otherwise not much. So fine. I thought the Jazz did a lot of things really well last night. Charlotte's a different team. They're playing with juice. They've won 4 in a row. It would have been nice to win the game, no question. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little stunned right now that I think Kelly's great, and I love Simone. I'm a little stunned that those guys have led to a 5-game losing streak. Some of it, I think, was soul for a few games. Some of it, I don't know. Like, you know, we swung the Sensabaugh on the – in the fourth quarter in the corner last night, and he misses it, and maybe that would have been Fontecchio. And maybe, you know, and Kelly just makes everyone better. But I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it's just really super interesting to me, I guess, to say that these guys are having that big an impact. We're missing those guys that much. Like, to me, that's a really, really interesting kind of touch on little tiny pieces and team chemistry and some things of that nature. Okay. Last night I thought we were really good. Turnovers were high, right? The lineup of Colin Sexton, Keontae George, Jordan Clarkson, John Collins, and Lowry Markkanen, which closed the game, turned the ball over 24% of their possessions last night. That's sick. Like, they played really well when they were out, but 24% of their possessions, they turned it over last night. Like, that's just, the turnovers were bad. There were a bunch of positives though. One is to be out, man, that badly in the three-point shooting category. I mean, at one point, they had 60 points in three-pointers, and we had 27. And just to stay in the game while doing that and turning it over showed a level of kind of fight and resiliency and texture to how they're playing that I think is a really, really good sign. Offensively, just weren't good last night. We were 106.1 offensive rating last night, and Charlotte, ever since they've made these trades, has actually become like a good defensive team. They've gone from the worst defensive team in the league to a pretty good defensive team in their 4-game win streak. But we just weren't very good offensively. We couldn't make shots early in the ball game, and then from there, after, you know, we turned it over too many times. We just didn't execute particularly well. So kind of interesting to see that. Defensively, on the other hand, we were terrific. Charlotte had only 15 shots at the rim all game. The Jazz really have decided, they simplified their defense, and they basically said, we're going to try to take away the rim and guard our guys more. Like, the Jazz went under on screens. They cut off the drives to the rim. They contested shots in the paint. They were 17 of 38 in the paint for the entire game, which is not very good. It's well below 50%. They were only 11 of 15 from the rim in the entire game. They went bananas. We forced 12 long twos, which is a ton. They went bananas. They went 18 of 39 on above the break threes on a roster of guys that don't usually shoot above the break threes very well. At some point, you kind of just tip a hat and say, dang it, we're on the wrong side of a shooting display. Some of our closeouts on Grant Williams weren't great. I kind of hate half-ass closeouts, and I think we do it a lot. I can't tell. I'm not on the floor. I don't really know, but it just seems to me like it's a little bit of a hop, skip, and a jump, and like, it just feels like there could be a little more juice to that closeout. I'm probably wrong on this, frankly, because I don't know what it's like to be out on the floor, and I don't understand what that is, and I don't understand how it impacts things, but it feels to me like too often I see a closeout that in my book looks like, oh, I'm supposed to close out, so I'll make sure on film I'm closing out, but my impact on this will be zero. But then the fact that I actually think someone thought that during a game makes me insane, so I'm sure that's not the case, but it feels like our closeouts were just a little soft last night. But, you know, Grant Williams went 6 of 11 from 3 last night. It was only 24 points. It's a hell of a pickup by them. And they're just a totally different team than the one we saw earlier. So I just thought overall, you know, like if you look at it, 17 shots at the rim, 14 long twos. They go 20 of 41 from 3. Like, wow, that's like variable. Transition defense, we kept them to 14% of their possessions in transition. We've been allowing 22. Their offensive rating was a 116.2 last night, which is below league average. We haven't kept a team below league average in on defense in a long time. We came into the game over the last 20 games being last in the NBA. I actually thought there was a ton of things last night where the Jazz were a way better basketball team and better focused than we've seen in a while. It was too bad to not get the win. And I kind of put it, yeah, I think Will said post game that, you know, certainly we can't afford to have that many turnovers. But on the other end, like I thought the shooting variance is really it. I'm sure Will just didn't want to say it, but you know, the Jazz defense against the Warriors was a 137, against the Lakers was a 140, against the Warriors was a 121, against the Phoenix Suns was a 132, against Oklahoma City was 120. That was the last time we kept someone below average. Milwaukee was a 112, was the last time we were any good. Philadelphia was a 130, Knicks a 130, Brooklyn 140. This has been going on for a long time. Charlotte, last time we played them, was a 122. Pelicans was a 143. Houston, like, was kind of back to Houston OKC road trip was the last time we played. Like, so that holds them to a 116 was really good. We don't force a lot of turnovers, and so it's hard for us to do a lot of other things to really well. We didn't foul much last night. It's a really good defensive effort by the Jazz last night. I thought that was super, super encouraging by the Jazz. All right, Bryce Sensabaugh, Taylor Hendricks, Keyonte George all had really good sequences last night, and we'll touch on that as we continue, plus look around the NBA. There's a team I think might be really, really good, so we're going to touch on that for you as we continue here on Locked On Jazz. Time now for your eBay Motors NBA Fantasy Fit. Josh Lloyd is Locked On Fantasy Basketball's number one expert. He is actually the number one fantasy show in all of the country. And eBay Motors has the guaranteed fit. So this brings us to eBay Motors guaranteed fit pick of the week. Here are the 5-6 players that Josh Lloyd thinks are eBay guaranteed fits for your fantasy team. Ayo Dosunmu. With Patrick Williams out and Torrey Craig hurting his knee, Dosunmu's minutes in floor will improve for Chicago. Scoot Henderson is now the Blazers' starting point guard for the rest of the season. There will be an efficiency, but he needs to be rostered. Keyonte George is now the Jazz starting point guard for the rest of the season. He has efficiency issues, but the Jazz should allow him plenty of opportunities. He's been pretty efficient. Last night was not quite as good as last night. Keyonte finished 7 of 14, 2 of 8 from 3. That's pretty good. So hard to complain about that from Keyonte last night. Marvin Bagley III is the only center in Washington. Kelly Olynyk is getting relevant bench minutes in Toronto. And Trey Mann, LaBelo Ball's status up there. Mann has grabbed the fantasy league. Grabbed in fantasy leagues is the Hornets point guard. Those are your fantasy eBay Fantasy Motors guaranteed fit. What's your ride or die? Well, with 122 million parts, your ride or die will be taken care of at eBay Motors. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs. eBay Motors has it, and with eBay's guaranteed fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride for the first time, every time, or your money back, plus at all prices. You're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. eBay Motors guaranteed fit. Only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items and exclusions apply. Thanks so much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all podcasting apps as well as on YouTube. And Locked On Sports Today is the first ever national 24/7 channel. It's available for you on YouTube as well as on Amazon Fire TV now. All right. There was a really fun sequence in the third quarter last night when Bryce Sensabaugh, Taylor Hendricks, and Keyonte George carried the Jazz. Really, Taylor Hendricks and Keyonte George played great basketball. Taylor Hendricks is going to be interesting to watch. He's just getting time. He's going to have to figure it out. He doesn't understand the margins right now of how hard what it takes to be good in this league. He doesn't understand the little things yet. It's fine. What he learned last night was that when he sits and waits for the game to come to him, it gets lonely and you're unimpactful. And then when you make an impact to impact the game and you fly in for offensive rebounds and you get a few of them and you suddenly get putbacks, you now impact the game. And this guy's got an unbelievable athletic gift an unbelievable bounce. And if he can play with some tenacity and impact the game and not wait for the game to come to him, he can have an impact. And that's what he showed last night. That was really cool. 12 points, 9 rebounds, plus 10 last night. Took 5 threes, only made one of them. And if he just sits around and takes threes, it's going to be ugly. He's not a very good three-point shooter yet. I don't know that stroke is a great three-point shot. He's shooting 22%, I think 23% as an NBA player from three. I don't know his G League numbers, but they weren't overwhelming. So, like, he's got to make sure he impacts the game in other ways. He's not a great off-the-bounce player, so it's going to be offensive rebounds and crashing and slashing and moving it without the ball and learning all those things, and it's going to be really fun to watch him do those things. And then Keyonte last night, another 31-minute night. This is what he's going to have on a pretty nightly basis, and pretty solid. 5 turnovers is too many. No free throws is not great, but we watched him in the third quarter kind of get his vibe on. I think he scored 10 points in the quarter. Taylor scored 12. Sensabaugh closed the quarter, hitting a big three to close out the quarter on the buzzer. And you got 25 of the Jazz points in the third quarter came from the rookies, which was really cool. And that's, I think, the next 26 games, it's clear we're going to play all three of these guys an awful lot. Sensabaugh played Taylor and Horton Tucker's minutes last night and played 12 minutes last night. He went 3 of 6. 1 of 3 from three. He should be able to really shoot it. Like, his G League numbers are okay. His college numbers were great. He was a scorer. We're going to have to make sure he's efficient. No rebounds, no assists last night. Okay. Like, he's going to have to rebound if he's going to play 12 minutes. If he's going to play 12 minutes a night, he's got to get rebounds, particularly long rebounds around the free throw line, things of that nature. Those are plays that Sensabaugh has to be involved in, has to contribute more than scoring. Will Hardy the other day was asked what he wants to see out of Bryce Sensabaugh, and his answer literally was that he wants to see anything that doesn't involve scoring. Well, last night he got no rebounds, no assists, 1 steal, no blocks. Okay. Like, and his defense is, he really has to learn pick and roll defense technique at the top. And that's what this is going to be about, is having the film of tape of him going up against. Now, last night was just against Trey Mann and Micic. Those aren't elite guards. And there won't be another one. We won't see one in San Antonio, but let's see when you're suddenly guarding Trey Young and DeJounte Murray on this next road trip in Atlanta. And then when we come back, our final close to the year is just brutally hard. I mean, we have the fourth hardest schedule the rest of the way. That was one of the easiest games we have the rest of the way and didn't win it. Like, there are W's could be hard to come by the rest of this way, even if we hadn't made trades, if you actually go look at our schedule. so I think that's something to keep an eye on for it. Jordan and Walker did not have good games last night. Like, it happens. They're humans. They just didn't have good games last night. JC, 5 of 13. He's just... did go to the free throw line 6 times. His inefficiency all season long is just tough. And Walker just was feckless in 17 minutes. He had 2 rebounds and just did not have an impact. Was minus 18, did not have a good impact on the game last night. So, but overall, good defense. You're out shot that badly. You stay in the games, a lot of good signs. And we just went on a massive fourth quarter offensive drought that cost us the game. And in that drought, we tried to play Lowry one-on-one post shot creation, and he wasn't able to do it yet. And that's the next step. So this was a game that I thought just kind of showed everything we're going to see for the next 26 games and all the pieces of development and fun things to watch for this team. Lowry trying to move himself from a top 25 to a top 15 player. Keyonte getting more time on the floor and getting it. And then, you know, he had a pretty strong third quarter. And he had a good opening of the fourth quarter. He came back in the game. I thought, look like Taylor. Can he learn how to impact the game all the time? And Bryce, can he do other things? It's going to be super fun to watch. We'll be back with you Sunday home game. Victor Wembanyama's first appearance in Salt Lake City. Jazz and the Spurs. Thanks for tuning in. The team that I think is that terrific. Keep an eye on the Dallas Mavericks. They've got 240 minutes. They're playing a little defense. They have 48 minutes of 7-footers. They have Luka and Kyrie back. We'll see if Kyrie can play more than 10 games in a row. They have won 7 in a row, one of them against the Thunder, one of against the Suns. Otherwise, the 7 and 1 against an injured Knicks team aren't that impressive, and they're about to embark on a 4-game road trip of Indiana, Cleveland, Toronto, and Boston. So let's keep an eye on that. Their schedule's really soft, really soft. The rest of the way, I think Dallas can be hosting a first-round playoff game. And I think they're really good. They start Lively at center right now, which is a good place for him, and probably even though he's a rookie at this point of the season. He probably understands it coming back from injury, but Josh Green, PJ Washington, and Derek Lively with Kyrie and Luka Doncic is pretty good. Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench is inefficient. Kleba's a good player. Daniel Gafford and Jones Jr., whose first name is escaping me, are giving him 17 minutes a night of bench play. Like, that's pretty good. They got Phoenix last night, who didn't have Bradley Beal. It's a pretty good, like, that team's good. Keep an eye on Dallas. The other one I said yesterday, I'm super interested to watch New Orleans. I can't quite figure out what they're doing on the back end of their bench yet, but that starting five seems pretty solid right now. Zion, Zilgaskis, Valanciunas, Murphy, Herb Jones, and CJ McCollum, and then their bench is just the question, but they blasted Houston last night, 127-105. They've got a lot of things. That's going to be a real battle. Let's just say that battle right now. And if Denver or the Clippers slip, I don't think those guys can make up three or four games, but Phoenix better get right, because I don't know that they're going to catch Dallas or New Orleans at this point. It's pretty interesting up in the top end of the Western Conference. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. We'll talk to you on Monday and Sunday postcast. Have a great – oh, I won't do a show Monday. I'm doing stuff. I won't do a show Monday. I'll do a show Tuesday morning from Atlanta. Have a great one. Thanks very much for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz. We now send you the first ever 24/7 national sports channel. It's Locked On Sports Today. It's also available for you on Amazon Fire TV. So check it out at Locked On Sports Today.